Hello, and welcome back to Idol Talk. In this week's episode, we bring you songs that are at the top of our playlist and should be added to yours. We cover If You Do by GOT7, My Treasure by Treasure, Hands Up featuring PH1 by Henry, and Non by BB. From older groups to new goos, we got you covered with the K-Bops.
Hi everyone, welcome back to Idol Talk, where we explore South Korean pop culture one obsession at a time. My name is Nathan and I'm your host.
Hey everyone, I'm Ashley, the editor for Idol Talk, and I'm so happy that Hyunjin got Rain's parts for the Beach Again performances at the end of the year shows. Because it could have gone bad. Like, he could have gotten the other guy, the comedian's lines, and that guy has no lines. But he got Rain's part, and now he sings like half of the cover. So good for him.
It was good.
I'm Casey, Taemin's Nuna, and I am so ready for the SHINee comeback in February. For those that missed the announcement during the SM Family concert, I also posted a video of myself screaming about it on the Instagram story. You can find it under the Casey highlight on our profile at Idol Talk Pod. That's all. Thank you.
Is there a date for the release yet?
Not that I've seen, but they could release it like
February, I think.
Yeah, they could just release it overnight without warning anyone. And
Beyonce style.
I would still, I'd still consume the content.
All right. And we're going to do a SM concert review, I think, in the next couple episodes. So stay tuned for that, listeners. And we have our unit special subunit in back with us, Gabe.
Hello, everyone. It's Gabe, and I'm back. And if you haven't been following the Dreamcatcher subreddit, they recently unveiled their lightstick and robe.
Robe.
And so it's not just a lightstick.
The lightstick is literally like...
It's a light staff. I don't know how tall.
It's like 5 feet long. And
you can use it to part the seas like Moses. It's massive. I'm going to buy
it. I was reading the comments, and apparently Luna has a similar thing going on with like a light staff. So, they're setting a trend.
I wonder if they'll be able to bring those into the concert venues.
But doesn't it collapse? Doesn't it? I think it collapses.
It does collapse.
We'll all be in there with our robes and our light staffs like a cult.
Wow.
If only K-pop needed to look even more like a cult. Yeah. You know, those like security guards that like they're just like
into the cult. I'm here for it. Man, if I had that staff during the Dreamcatcher concert, I would have been beating people with it.
All right. Thanks all for the introductions. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Idol Talk Pod, and rate, review, and subscribe to us on Spotify, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Amazon Podcasts, and Pandora. If you have any feedback or topics that you'd like us to cover, send it to us through email at idoltalkpod@gmail.com. We also have our new content directory, idoltalkpod.uwu.ai, where we have previous episodes categorized, information about us, everything about K-pop and Idol Talk Pod, and it could be also found in our description episode of our description in our new episode. All right, so New Year-ish, and of course we have a never-ending slew of K-pop, so we wanted to go through some of our recommendations and K-pops for this cycle. So I guess I will go ahead and go first. And don't forget, you can also find a complete playlist of our K-bops that we're going to go over right now, as well as timestamps to our individual recommendations in the episode description. All right. So I know I just said that we had new K-pop releases and that of the like, but mine is more of like a nod to recent news that GOT7 will not be leaving their name, but will be leaving JYP Entertainment. None of them have re-signed back to that company, which we'll discuss in just a little bit. But I wanted to give them some kind of tribute, per se, and kind of throwback to the quote-unquote good old days, of which we know that a lot of the members are kind of reminiscing about now. My recommendation this time around is If You Do. I chose this song because it's one of their more popular hits. I was just re-looking at the YouTube video and it has almost 200 million views, which was really high for a song that was released back in like 2015. This was also the time where I was starting to like get immersed into the culture of K-pop and just beginning to like understand what this world is all about. And I remember when they released it, it was such a big hit. People... this was right after their Just Right comeback. So they were kind of riding their popularity wave. And I kind of see this era of GOT7 as like their peak. So I kind of wanted to reminisce about it. And while I was looking, just like revisiting some of their stages, I was like, yeah, this is pretty good. And I remember like their footwork for the choreography is something that stood out to me in this video.
That's like their point choreography, that footwork.
Yeah, it's specifically this song. Mm-hmm. So I wanted, you know, for the listeners that might not have been there back in 2015, 2016 time, this was like GOT7's peak. Mm-hmm. So I think that they'll always be known as like a top tier group, and I think that this era is going to be what they're most known for. So, I don't know, I just wanted to give some kind of nostalgic dedication to GOT7 as they go their separate ways. I think on social media, like they say, you know, this is just the beginning of GOT7. I think that's what Mark
tweeted. Blah, blah, blah. Whatever.
Unfortunately, that often means the opposite. Like, I'm thinking about, and this might not be like a perfect comparison, but how many times did you say that to like your high school friends or even your college friends? Like, oh, this isn't goodbye, but it, like, reflecting back at it, it really was. Yeah. So I don't know what's gonna happen to them, but I'm also interested to hear what you all have to say about the GOT7 quote-unquote disbandment.
What's the tea? Like, why specifically are they not re-signing?
They didn't really say. I think it was just time.
I just want the goss, you know? I want to know the truth.
It seemed like it was a long time coming, though, because the members started doing solo projects like a couple years back, and the solo projects weren't necessarily through JYP. So,
and the solo projects weren't flopping either. Like, they were doing well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Jackson, for his Chinese promotions and his like American promotions, he started his own label, Team Wang or whatever it's called. And then everyone else was kind of doing stuff separate of JYP. So like Jin Young was acting, and maybe he was supported as an actor through JYP, but yeah, and then
like not singing stuff.
Mm-hmm. Like they started becoming, like, they were doing other things too. It seemed like they started focusing more on their solo stuff rather than group activities.
Yeah, in the predictions episode, I think like Ashley and I were talking about it. They weren't losing like their dedication, but there was like something that was kind of missing from their group dynamic over the last couple of years that we were kind of noticing.
I mean, we predicted this yes, end. We did. I guess I just didn't see it coming so soon.
Yeah, it was GOT7 was, they hit the 7-year curse, so to speak.
Yeah.
Quite literally.
Wow. This was their seventh year, which is when a lot of idols like renew or not renew their contracts. But I was also thinking about, and I saw a couple of like quote unquote tabloid articles about how JYP mistreated them a lot. And ooh. I saw today, this will be some tea for y'all, and especially Casey since she's interested or just talked about it. Mark's father, who was very active on Twitter in terms of trying to advocate for better treatment for him and the group, replied to the tabloid article from All K-Pop and said, like, the headline was, oh, like, JYP treat GOT7 better. This was released like a week ago. And then Mark's father, it was like pinned from Arcadia, said, that's the truth.
Ooh.
So like,
dude, you know, we need to get Sammy to do some...
No, don't...
Well, we need to send John reporting. To do some reconnaissance work to get the real tea.
I know.
Is yeah. His- so their fam... Like, I know that their dad had previously been really vocal on social media about JYP and GOT7. So
that's
I just thought that it was interesting.
That is so interesting.
So, I mean, I'm thinking about it also... Like, who else has ever renewed from JYP? Like, I feel like they don't have a very good record of renewing with senior artists.
I guess...
is, like, maybe it's something more, like, maybe there's, like, a larger problem there or some service that they feel like they can't get as an artist that isn't starting off.
Yeah, I mean, I saw on Soompi earlier today that 2PM is coming out with a comeback through JYP.
Oh, I saw that,
so,
too.
Oh, okay. They do have 2PM.
But who else is there?
Well, see, that's what I was thinking. Like, Suzy was, like, their big it girl at JYP under Miss A. And I felt like he was kind of, like... she was kind of, like, JYP's, like, daughter. And she didn't even sign back with him. She's off on her own now. Suzy from Startup. People that are watching Startup.
Yeah, I'm watching
Startup. Oh! I didn't know she that girl was an idol.
She's like from a very famous JYP pre-Twice band.
Wonder Girl?
JYP needs to stop trying to come back and just focus on his artists. Like, who is he gonna have left on his roster to fund his own projects at this rate?
He's just going to, like, debut more groups.
Well, he has that big Japanese group now. That's getting a lot of attention.
Nizu.
Was it Nizu? Nizu?
Yeah, it seems like JYP is like a idol company for groups that are just starting out. And that's like their niche.
Mm-hmm. Like, what happens to them after? Because we know that, you can't be like a 3 times a year comeback standard boy group, standard girl group forever.
Yeah. They specialize in new groups.
Yeah. So, I wanted to just give some kind of dedication to GOT7. I think I mentioned this in the group chat. I was like, I hope this year that they come back one more time as a celebration of their careers and just close this really good chapter. Close a really good career. And it seems like they didn't even want to do that. They're like,
I think it's interesting.
I think this past album was the last hurrah.
Maybe that's like, what that was, actually.
Did the fans know that it was the last hurrah? Like, where's the closure?
No.
Well, that's the thing. I feel like there wasn't any closure. So, like, I'm thinking of another group that similarly disbanded, like, 7 or 8 years in, and they were kind of at their top. So, like, Sistar, which is a Starship group, they came back one last time, but the fans knew it, and the fans were really happy that they had some closure, right? They knew that no new music was basically going to come out, but they were very satisfied with their careers, and they were very satisfied as like, their fandom. I really wish
GOT7... That would probably be a good marketing strategy.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, everyone...
I wish GOT7 would have done that.
Everyone's already moved on. I saw on Jackson's Instagram that he's recording new music as a soloist. So,
that's
like,
what I was talking about last
JYP.
Episode. Like,
I'm out of here.
What's the point of keeping their
Jackson
name?
Jackson was, like, over it.
Yeah.
Like, why keep the GOT7 name if they're not going to do anything with it.
Nostalgia.
For the fans.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's what... So they're saying, like, oh, we'll always set aside time for GOT7 activities. I'm really skeptical of that, especially because they're all in different entertainment companies.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be really hard. People were saying that when Girls' Generation, some of them didn't renew, right? And they were saying, don't worry, we'll always be Girls' Generation. But it was a little bit more believable with them because majority of them stuck mm-hmm. with SM. And they have come out with unit stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But how are you supposed to... Who's going to produce their music?
Jackson's label.
He's not...
AOMG.
Exactly, right? It's like one artist versus... At least Girls' Generation had like 5 or 6 of them still under the record label. So it was a little bit easier to collectively act. But, I mean, who knows what's going to happen with GOT7. But I guess we should... At least for me, I wanted to focus on some of their career highlights, so I wanted to recommend this song.
Yeah.
Yeah, good luck to them on their endeavors.
I wanna say one last thing just for the memes and for history's sake, and for the listeners. So these are the companies that the artists are going to. Jackson is going to his own label, Yugyeom AOMG. Youngjae is going to Rain's label.
It's a big label.
Jin Young is going to an actor agency. And then Bam Bam, where is he going?
He's just going to rule Thailand.
Yeah, he's just going to become the prince of Thailand.
Basically.
JB, I'm not entirely sure where he's going, but Mark is going back to LA. And he's just going to chill at home.
To become an influencer.
Y'all trying to link up?
And a YouTuber.
Oh, God. That has potential to flop hard.
Oh, God.
We heard it here first.
Oh, shit.
Okay, so we've talked about this before. I think that the cards are stacked against him just looking at how all the other Asian American artists have fared out. And I don't think it's a problem in and of itself. We talked about this a little bit. Like, we know that the music industry is not, like... It's not as open to Asian Americans, first of all, so it's harder for them to break through.
Mm-hmm.
But second of all, I think what's going to be hard for Mark is that I feel like he doesn't have as much charisma as some of the other artists. For example, like an Amber. Amber had a lot of following because like she's
like a personality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I want to see what Mark wants to do. Like what does he want to do on his YouTube channel? I think it's also going to be hard for him to produce music because he's a rapper, right?
Yeah.
Is he a rapper?
I think, yeah, he is a rapper. And he's like the
sub rapper. But see your hesitation, you're kind of like, is he? So it's going to be hard for him to produce solo content just with his own strengths alone. So
let's give him a platform on the pod.
Good vibes.
For him to promote himself.
I want everything that's best for him, but I'm just saying, like, structurally, the American audience is going to be stacked against him because of the structures that be.
No, I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
It's just
We can use our platform to help him.
Mark, you're invited on the platform. Pod. You can guest on the pod and kick off your YouTube debut.
Yeah, if you want your own English American podcast, Mark, you can come to Idol Talk Studios and we'll produce it for you.
Yeah.
I'm sure Eric Nam will do one for him too, so I don't know if we can compete.
No, don't go on Eric Nam's podcast. Come on ours.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, good thoughts to GOT7, good thoughts to our own hometown boy, Mark. All right, Gabe.
Okay, so my rec this time around is Treasure's new song off of their first full-length album, and it's called My Treasure. was a lot of anticipation surrounding this Treasure comeback because it was the first full-length album of this, I'd say arguably one of the best rookie groups of 2020.
Yes.
And the only thing I'm kind of disappointed in, though, is that the full-length album was only, like, 3 new songs.
I mean...
And so it was, like, very standard YG.
Yeah, what were you expecting from YG? Like, a full 8 songs? The new songs?
So, I don't know, but like, more than 3.
3? Come on.
I know.
The people want more. Like, I will admit that Treasure is such an interesting... like boy group that came out of last year, and the fact that they don't have many songs is boring. I want more.
Well, after having a debut and 3 comebacks, they now have the equivalent of 1 album, so
right,
or 1 mini album maybe, so that's something. But anyways, the song itself is kind of a departure, I'd say, from their previous releases, right? Because they really tried to go with a more kind of like cute and summery concept. And the whole video, I think the video was super cute. I really liked it. And they didn't have the like characteristic, like instrumental, like kind of EDM drop that they've had in the past 3 songs.
Mm-hmm.
So it was definitely a change for them. And I don't know, I think it's good. It shows that they're versatile. And yeah, they're so cute. I love them.
Yeah. I liked the song as a whole, but there was one part that I didn't like, and it was like the obligatory rap breakdown for my child, Choi Hyun-suk. And they like, oh. So they, it's an upbeat song, and then when the rap verse comes in for Haruto and Hyun-suk, they like slow it down so much. And then Hyun-suk is wearing... like a, what the fuck is that outfit that he's wearing? It's like a top hat, a monocle, a purple suit. Like, it was weird. I hated it. But then I liked it. I liked the rest of the song. It was really cute, but that part was bad.
Looking like a Mr. Peanut.
Yeah, Mr. Peanut, but like purple.
I hate it.
I have a question. Why... Yes. What's up with YG and like doing, like, for example, the group's name is Treasure, and then they come up with the title track My Treasure. Seems like it's similar to like Blackpink doing an album, calling it the album.
Or a concert called The Show.
Yeah.
Come on now. Come on. Well, I mean, is the meaning of the song about their group? Is it about Treasure? Like, why is it called My Treasure? Does anyone know?
I think it's about like cherishing people. Let me look up the
list. It's probably a fan song.
The listeners are their treasure.
Well, the fandom name is Treasure Maker. So, the lyrics, at least the English lyrics in the song, is "You're my treasure." So it's like treasuring someone in double meaning. Like they're treasuring their fans, and they also treasure like the relationship.
Okay.
I don't know.
Nice. I mean, I think that it was positively received in general.
Did you feel treasured?
Yes.
Yeah. Did the treasure stands
okay, good.
Feel
I
treasured?
I felt treasured, yes.
I'm happy for you.
So,
and I'm happy for Treasure.
What's going to happen to Treasure for the rest of 2021? Who wants to put their thumb on the scale? Gabe or Ashley?
I don't know, honestly, because this was the logical end to, like, their first arc.
Mm-hmm.
Even though, like, I feel like it went by really fast, too. Like, they went through a whole arc of stuff after, like, 7 months or something, 6
mm-hmm.
months. So, I don't know. We'll see if they
keep
do
the
anything
momentum
groundbreaking.
Going.
Yeah.
But so far, they haven't done anything, like, super groundbreaking. But, I mean, if they keep going with this, the formula works for me, at least. So,
yes.
I'm happy to have them keep doing it.
I agree. They'll probably take like a couple months break and then prepare for their new trilogy. Chapter 2.
You don't think they're going to do Japanese? Are they going to do Japanese promotions?
You're so right. I didn't even think about that.
Isn't that their whole point?
Yeah, that's true. There are like 5 Japanese members or whatever. 4. So yeah, maybe they will do it.
I think we're beginning to see in the K-pop industry a reversion back from trying to capture the Chinese market to trying to capture the Japanese market again. So I'm thinking, like, there's a lot of talk about, well, I mean, NCT doesn't market to China at all.
What are you talking about? They have Wavy.
Oh, well, I mean, okay, besides Wavy, they're promoting in Japan, second album right
now.
Oh,
right. You mean 127?
127, yeah, I mean 127. I'm thinking, you know, JYP has that new Japanese group that basically has only done Japanese things. We have Treasure.
Eyes One.
So Produce 48 was half Japan, half Korea. And then...
Do you think it might be hard for K-pop to get into, into China because of all their political unrest?
I think that might have a lot to do with it, actually.
I think it's because a lot of the company, like, at least the Chinese entertainment companies, so I'm thinking, well, the only ones I know are Yuehua, but, like, they pretty much are the only ones I know that do promotions in China, so I feel like the government doesn't just let whoever wants to promote in China, like, come to China to promote, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Well, and also, if you notice, like, with the Wavy members, speaking of the Wavy members, they're not under, quote-unquote, SM. They're under, like, a Chinese label, I think.
Mm.
Like, a separate one. I think
it's the same with Starship, too.
Hmm.
Like, the Cosmic Girls members who are from China, like, they're under a Chinese entertainment company that just, like, collaborates with Starship in Korea to, like, do Cosmic Girls
stuff. Is this SM Chinese label mainland China, or is it, like, Hong Kong?
Yeah, no, it's mainland China.
Oh. So can SM promote in Hong Kong? Or do you think that would be a...
They probably don't anymore. For example, the MAMA Awards used to be in Hong Kong up until more political unrest happened.
Oh.
And they no longer have it there because it's no longer a neutral area.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So, yeah, I think that has a lot to do with it. I mean, Japan has always been very receptive to K-pop styled music, so it's never a bad market to try to capture.
Right.
But I feel like Treasure might try to do something there.
Yeah, and they'll probably try to capture some digital sales, especially because they can't tour.
Mm. Okay.
This is a slight tangent, but speaking of Japanese market and Nugu boy groups, can we talk about that big hit, like, Japanese group they're debuting with K?
We'll see that too.
I totally just remembered about it.
I forgot about them.
I can't believe I forgot about them. But yes, that's coming for anyone who's salty about Island still. Your favorite rejects are forming a new group.
Predicted it.
You did predict it. You predicted Nathan did.
Mm-hmm.
So obvious. They're not just gonna, like, let them go. They're gonna ride the popularity wave and stick them into somewhere else.
That's true.
They're never gonna leave.
Suddenly, I'm a Taki stan. And I hated him!
I hate you. Like, the entire time we were watching Island, you hated Nikki, you hated Taki, you hated Kay. And now Nikki and Taki are cute to you after you disparaged them and their character and ability for, like, 2 months straight.
Say it, okay. Casey. Say it, Casey.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I'm doing.
I understand that about you.
Well, it's...
I just want to say it out loud.
Drag her.
Well, Nikki... my perception has changed for Nikki because he's no longer crying and, like, trying to deceive other people in order to get his spot in the main group. And
okay, fine.
I'm happy that Kay and Taki could go off into Japan and do their own thing because I think they would be happier there, you know? Like, with the other members, the synergy was not there, you know? And I don't know if the synergy is there, but I'm oblivious to it, to the new group. So whatever is working with them, I'm happy for them, whatever. You know what I mean?
It remains to be seen.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens with these Japanese market stuff and Treasure. But in any case.
Oh, wait. Right. One last thing about Treasure.
Yes, go ahead.
So they had a pre-debut song that was called Going Crazy, which I really liked. And that is on this full-length album. Mm. So I encourage everyone to go back and listen to it because it's very good. And the dance performance video is also very cute. So, yeah.
Pre-debut. Okay.
Yeah.
You know what? I mean, the YG strategy is not a bad strategy, right? Because once the full album hits, usually you know all the songs because they've been marketed as title tracks.
Yes. YG is the epitome of, what is that word when you're trying to do as little as you can to get maximum effort?
Efficiency.
Efficiency. They are the definition of efficiency. Like doing the least amount of work and getting the maximum result possible.
Well, I was going to frame it this way. I feel like they go, and I'm not like a YG fam like Stan, but I think they go for like less releases, but try to do like higher quality. So like there's no like skip songs on the album because you already know all of them.
There's only three songs. How are you going to skip any of them?
Well, that's the thing. Like, I remember back in, I don't know, 2016, 2017, when Winner was doing like the Really Really series, they were coming out with like two songs at a time, but all of them were very, very well known. And all of a sudden, they came out with like a mini or full album and everyone knew all the songs for the entire year. And it was great.
Mm-hmm. I guess that makes sense. Like this
was, yeah, it's not a bad strategy. It's just different.
Yeah. Because on the same day that Treasure came back, Victon also came back, and they had a full album with like 15 songs or something. I listened to the whole thing. And
yeah, and it's hard to listen to new, like 5 or 6 new songs in a row.
Yeah.
I feel. So it's not a bad strategy. Anyway, all right, let's move on to Ashley.
Yes. So my recommendation is someone we haven't talked about on the pod before, and it's my sweet opa, Henry Lau. He released his new album, Journey, on... When did he release it? Oh my God, my notes, where are they? Oh wait. Never mind. He released his new album on November 18th, and the song I'm recommending is the B-side, Hands Up by PH1. Since we haven't talked about Henry Lau on the pod before, I'm just going to give you guys some background on him. He is born in 1989, so he's 31 years old as of 2020. And he debuted in April 2008 with Super Junior M, which stands for Super Junior Mandarin, as their maknae. So The Super Junior Mandarin group consisted of like half Korean members from the original Super Junior group and then like 3 or 4 Mandarin members. He's half Taiwanese, half Hong Kong Chinese. And I had a question about this. Do you say Hong Kong Chinese or do you say like he's a Hong Konger? Like how do you, what is the... What is the
correct? Very interesting question. Well, people identify as different things. Some people identify as strictly Hong Konger, and some people see themselves as Hong Konger Chinese. So there's,
I don't know which one whatever. Henry is then. I know that his dad is born in mainland China, but he grew up in Hong Kong. So he probably is like culturally Hong Konger, you know?
Yeah, I don't want to ascribe for him.
Yeah, interesting. So, anyway, Henry Lau is like a Renaissance man in the sense that he can play almost every single instrument. He can act, he can sing, he can dance, and he can also compose. Yes. So he composed several songs while he was at SM. One of them notably was EXO's The Eve.
Yes.
I first learned about him by watching one of SM's shows called The Snowball Project. And it was one of the very first SM like culture and content shows where Henry Lau and Mark from NCT did like, it was a collaboration between SM Entertainment and Mystic Entertainment, which I guess is like a subsidiary of SM. And they do, these two companies, like, they got two artists, which are Mark and some other dude, and they, like, collaborate on several songs. Henry Lau also did, like, a Red Velvet SM, like, collaboration through that same TV show where they remixed, fucking...
It's a throwback song.
What's that song?
They did a Dum Dum?
Oh, Mystic did a cover of Dum Dum. They did a remix of Dum Dum. It was like an R&B version of Dum Dum. And then he remixed with Red Velvet, like, Under the Sea or something. Like a Disney song. But yeah. As he left SM, so his contract expired with SM in 2013. So he left Super Junior and his solo activities there and started his own company called Monster Entertainment Group. And since 2013, that's where he's been producing stuff. So
wait, 2013?
No. Wait. Yeah, 2013. 2013 is when he left.
But he produced. He produced The Eve for them in like 2018. So how's that possible?
Maybe he was just like a contracted writer. Because you know how he participates in those like, what are they called at SM? Boot camps? Song camps?
But he was at SM family concerts and stuff. Are you sure?
I don't know.
I think he debuted in 2013. That's when he started.
Anyways, he debuted as a soloist.
That's when his career started getting going. Because he came out with, like, Trap with Taemin.
Right.
With all the tattoos and stuff. Anyways. Yeah. Henry is one of probably the most talented people in the K-pop industry. I watched a lot of his content this year on the show Begin Again.
Yeah.
Which is a, like, acoustic song singing, song covering show. And he was really, really wonderful on the show.
I'm sure he composes his own stuff, too. Okay, so a correction. He actually left SM in 2018. He debuted as a soloist in 2013. But Henry is, like, so multi-talented. He's also, like, a personality, too.
He's really funny.
He was a co-host on I Live Alone. He was on We Got Married. Like, he's been on a really big variety shows as, like, a featured guy.
He's got the visuals.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's a full package, for sure.
SM definitely lost, like, a great talent with him.
They did. But you can also tell, and I love Henry, but you can also tell he's a little rebellious.
Yeah.
So, like, I think it was hard for him to be controlled even to a small amount.
Yeah.
Because he's also just so creative.
That's right? True. So, I think it might be because he's Canadian. And he doesn't really fit, like, his upbringing may have not fit within, like, the confinement of K-pop structure, you know? So it is good that he is able to go do his own thing with his own label.
Yeah, I don't know why she came up twice during this pod and she never comes up, but it's like Amber, right? She she doesn't like to be confined, right?
Yeah.
And of course she understands, like, you know, K-pop has this sense of the companies do have to know what you're doing all the time for the most part and things like that. But I don't think that she likes that.
Yeah.
And similarly, I don't think Henry liked that. So I think it made sense that he went off on his own.
Mm-hmm. I hope that one day Monster Entertainment can grow to be big like AOMG, or I hope they get acquired by, like, Big Hit.
Everyone to get acquired by Big Hit.
Yeah, Big Hit needs to diversify, and I think they should acquire Henry. I mean, Henry's already on Weverse. Like, he's an artist under Weverse. I don't know.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he sells merch through Weverse Shop. So I know Weverse is just like a competitor version for VLive, so it's not necessarily like Big Hit artists and like company alignment or like politics with Weverse, but yeah, I hope.
I feel like it is though.
I mean, probably. Yeah. There are loyalties with VLive and JYP and SM, so maybe that's why he's not over there.
So Henry is actually a really good example of an artist that left, right? A more ginormous company and is making it on his own. But Henry's a special guy.
Yeah.
Like, he can literally do it all. He's been on, I think he's been in K-dramas too.
He's been in, he does like Chinese acting in movies and dramas there. So.
He was in what's that one K-drama we watched?
Oh!
Venus.
Oh, my Venus.
Oh, my Venus.
Yeah. As the annoying little bro.
Yeah. Yeah, he was the annoying Dongsaeng type character.
Which is totally his personality because that's how he is. He's like the annoying dude. I remember on the Snowball Project, he at the end of his time with the Snowball Project, he collaborates with Sunny from Girls Generation.
Oh my gosh.
And
he picks
up Sunny and they're going to Starbucks because she's like, "Let's stop." And they're he's taking Sunny's order and Sunny's like, "I want a strawberry frappuccino, like extra whipped cream." And Henry looks at her like, "Are you sure you want extra whipped cream?" I just so
but
mean
he's
to
he
her.
Doesn't mean it. He's just like trolling though.
Yeah,
that's
he's
just who he
trolling
is.
And that's just his personality. But he's like, he is what everyone considers, at least Sunny, to be like that annoying little bro, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And he was Mark's annoying older brother.
Yeah.
On that show too.
In Snowball Project, Mark, like, it starts with Mark going to Henry to ask if Henry can produce songs with him and help him write songs.
Like to his apartment.
Yeah. And Henry's like, "Yeah, I'll help you, but first you have to clean my whole house while hoverboarding."
Wow.
It's like, do the chewing gum dance.
I want to watch that. Can you link that video?
Yeah, it's on VLive. It's one of those series where they have like 5 minutes per episode. So
it's I like
an
that.
Easy watch. But I'll link it. It's really good.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Shout out to Henry. All right, Casey, let's close us out.
Okay. So my recommendation for this episode is Nan by BB. So Chris already talked about BB in episode 30 when she recommended her song Binu. So I won't necessarily go into the details about like who she is because you could just like reference that episode. But I will say that after watching some of her IG lives and V lives, I love her personality. She's low-key savage and she cusses in English, which is like weird to hear from like an idol. And I just love that energy. She's also an illustrator, so she'll like draw and show her like artwork. It's really cool to see like idols have multifaceted personalities where they're not just like performers, but they're also like creatives. That's just my note on who Bibi is as like a person.
Wait, so can you explain her personality? And I hate to say this because everyone is so unique, but
she's like a
Jessie?
Diluted.
Like, who are you talking about? Like a who? Huh.
Like a diluted Ki.
Diluted Ki.
Like if Ki was like diluted and was cute, like a cute girl, but not as like savage.
Like Jamie?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
She's not, well, Jamie's vibe is like in your face. And she's trying to be savage, whereas I feel like Bibi's vibe is more like she just is. Like, it just happens. Like, she'll just be reading something that someone is commenting on the live, and then she'll say something really quick and, like, move on. Like, she's not saying it to make an impact. That's just how she's genuinely reacting. That's why I like it, because it's effortless. Yeah, it's very degaff, and she just is unintentionally funny. I think what I like is because she does speak English, like half and half when she's responding, it makes me feel like I can keep up and like understand her better rather than like waiting for translations. So she's more accessible as an idol and personality to me as an international fan. So maybe there are other female soloists out there that have similar personalities or are just as savage, but I don't know about them because... You know, I don't really could deviate from my usual content and groups and idols that I vehemently solo stan.
Yeah.
Nathan, don't make funny faces in the corner. Anyway, the song Nan is a song for the K-drama Live On. It's part of their OST for their part two. It's a high school romance drama from JTBC, and it came out in November. And I think it just finished its episode, it's like last episode yesterday. What's today? It's the 13th. Yeah, so it literally just finished running. I personally haven't seen it, but it makes sense why this song is so dramatic and emotional with all the swelling. You know me, I love vocals, especially when there's a lot of like intensity behind them. And when I first heard this, because I was listening to, what's that one? There's this one Spotify playlist.
Trend Chill. You know what?
No. I heard this on Tidal. I bought Tidal for some reason. I don't know why. I'm going to cancel it, but I was on Tidal and they made me like a mix.
Wait, what's Tidal?
It's Jay-Z's.
Oh, sorry.
It's Jay-Z's streaming service, yeah. And it's supposed to be like higher quality music because they have like the masters, they have hi-fi.
Oh, I see.
I thought they also like provide more streaming money to the artists too.
They do. They pay their artists 0.09 per stream, I think.
0.09 what?
Cents. 0.09. Oh my god. It's like a big, it's like
a lot though.
It's like 0.096, something like that. There's like three digits after the nine. And then Spotify only pays like 0.04, 0.05 or something like that.
So 9 cents per stream, or is it
no round up? It's more than 9 cents. It's less than 1 cent.
No, keep the decimal places there. You don't, it's like it's not a percentage,
it's 0.09.
Yeah,
what?
Don't move the decimal places anymore.
You're not rounding up. It's 0.0. It's literally less than a cent, and I just can't express.
Oh, okay. So almost 1 cent.
It's 9% of 1 cent.
Oh, okay. I get it. Yeah. Ooh, that's kind of low.
Yeah. It seems low, but it's a lot if you think about how streaming works.
It's a 3-minute song.
Yeah. And also with the way that they count like what a stream could be, like you can't, they're not going to count every single stream if you're just like looping the song, you know. I think I've talked about it before, how like you have to have a strategy with streaming because the services will like purge bots and like repeats.
Casey, right. You're really gonna have to do like a tutorial for the IG
or
something.
Yes. Okay, I will hold a streaming masterclass for anyone who wants to lose their life and just be a jobless stan.
I thought your job was to stan.
Yeah.
a jobless stan. Yeah, okay. If you're jobless and all you do is stan, then your job is to stan. Especially if you're generating revenue for your artist by streaming on like 7 computers.
See? There you go.
Yeah, well, K-pop is no stranger to that.
Anyway, so I got it as like part of my mix on Tidal, and I was like, who is this? So when I saw that it was BB, I was really surprised because I was not into Binu when Chris recommended it. I thought it was kind of like slow and I guess I would say sleepy.
Yeah.
I don't know. But Nan is like so dramatic. It really appeals to me because it seems like on first listen, it was a passionate song. And when I looked at the translation of the lyrics, it was like, it seemed to be about like how she is a person that is so strong that she can't be dragged down by being in love or being passionate about someone. Like one of the lyrics she says is, I'm not breaking down because I go high. And it makes me wonder like what the context of this song is in the drama. Mm-hmm. So now I have to watch this K-drama.
What's the drama called again?
Live On. It's like it's set in a high school, and the main girl is like popular on social media, but she's bullied at school. And then there's a boy that is like standing by her, even though she's bullied. I watched a YouTube fan edit of of BB's Nan over clips from the K-drama, and so that's the gist of what I got from that fan edit.
There's
it's the guy
newest
from...
member.
Yeah.
Who's? Oh, do you recognize the lead?
He's the newest.
But... Aren't they like the late 20s?
Dude.
1995.
It looks like
Korean skincare. You can always play a high schooler.
Yeah.
Oh, this newest boy was former 101.
Yeah, he was.
Wow.
Oh, he's the one. He's the one that, like, they changed their name to Newest W as they were waiting for him, right?
They were.
Yeah. They were. They needed their clout to come back before they could promote.
Yeah. Cute. Is Newest Don't get me started. Still going?
Yeah.
Yeah, Newest is under Big Hit. They're under Pledis.
Should I stan?
If you want.
I don't know anything about them. Oh. I'm just...
You probably do know some newest songs, and if you want to stan Big Hit artist, you could do that.
I don't want to be a Big Hit stan. I'm protesting them because they're expensive.
I know.
Protesting them.
No, I stan BTS, and I'm loyal as fuck for them, but Big Hit is on my shit list. I'm not going to pay $90 for a plain-ass sweater that says 3 letters on it.
Yeah.
You could ship it to me in 4 months.
And I'm not going to buy a concert that you're not going to give me the VOD for. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, that's rude. Anyway, that went on a tangent. All this to say that BB has such a unique voice that really came out in this song. It She has like a really unique rasp and versatility. That I think I'm gonna stan her from now on, and I look forward to her future releases because so far she only has singles out.
Mm-hmm. She does a lot of features on K R&B songs, so maybe if you stan her,
she has the voice for that.
You'll stan K R&B.
I'm trying to get into girl groups and female soloists this year. So,
new resolution?
No, but I'm trying to compensate for my failure.
No, that was her resolution from 2020. Sorry. I didn't mean to call you out.
Or did you? That was pretty cool.
I just came here to have a good time, Nathan. I did not come here to be attacked like this.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Is it not enough for you that I'm recommending female artists now? Damn.
No, you're good. You're good.
Let me live.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
You can't bring me down because I go high, as BB says.
Oh, my new queen. All right. Thank you for those recommendations. Remember that you could find a complete playlist of our K-pops in this episode description, as well as timestamps for our individual recommendations. Thank you all for tuning in to this episode. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Idol Talk Pod. And of course, if you have any feedback, again, our email is at idletalkpod@gmail.com. Until next time, we'll talk to you all later. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.